Hi, this is the Catalyst Sessions. My name is Bill DeYoung. You're tuned into the St. Pete Catalyst Facebook page or YouTube or somewhere else where hopefully you'll be able to watch this because it's going to be really cool. My guests today are Betty Fox and Josh Nelms from the Betty Fox Band. Hey there, guys. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Yeah. You're in good old Hillsborough County. You're in Plant City?
Yeah.
Strawberry Festivals probably next year. Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, here's the deal. That's all I know about Plant City is the Strawberry Festival. So
that's about what there is. So you're perfect, man.
Guys, you were going to play something, right? Are there any gigs these days? Have you started gigging again?
Yeah, we've also private parties and special events. But I kind of had just taken this time to tour a little bit, and so I went to Denmark, and I just got back from Denmark, and I went to Texas, and I went to Georgia, so I just got back, and we're getting back into the swing of things, and I think we're going to start every Thursday at the Hideaway starting in October.
Oh, fantastic. So, were you playing over there? I mean, that's where Georgia, Texas, and Denmark, you know, they don't seem to like go together. Like, were you singing in Scandinavia or just kind of hanging out?
I sang at a wedding. I did. I wrote a song and sang at a wedding, and it was really nice. Yeah, it was a really beautiful wedding.
Well, so the work is coming back here. You know, how's the past 6 months generally been for you guys?
Relaxed.
It's the way it is for a lot of other people. I mean, it's been a new normal, but it's
a new normal.
You know.
Well, I mean, we've been writing a lot. I'll tell you that much. We have a new album that we're working on, and I have 18 songs to choose from, plus two more that we're working on today. So,
wow.
So we're pretty stoked about getting to choose the best material and put all that on there, and that's what we're going to be playing for you today. This song, actually, we recorded up in Muscle Shoals, but it's going to be on our next CD as well. We're recording the rest of it at the Hideaway. Mm-hmm. But this is a song called Goodbye Austin, and I wrote it about a breakup, and I don't think he was too stoked about it, but I love this song. It's one of my favorite ones on the album, so.
Cool.
You want us to go ahead and get into it?
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I got lots of questions. We'll get there.
Okay.
Cool.
When I don't think twice. But I left him with a little piece of advice. I wish you wherever you listen twice to meet you on your road. Where there's no use trying to stop us from the stroll. You know this car breaker doesn't is broke. So I am moving on.
Lord have mercy. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Man, Betty, I got so many things I want to ask you biographically and okay. musically, but the question, ever since I first heard you sing, the main question that's kind of been on my mind is, how'd you learn to sing like that? I mean, did you just wake up one day and it came out that way?
I always loved to sing.
Yeah.
My whole life, I just remember, just ever since my very first memory, my family had a gospel quartet.
Yes.
My favorite cousin growing up, she was a singer, and everybody would always get together for Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. We'd all sing, and that's just how I was raised. So, you know, you sang when you were happy, you sang when you were sad. That's how it was in my house. I don't know. I just spent a lot of time with my mom recently, and she writes songs for the dogs when she's brushing their hair and stuff. Brushy, brushy. You know, like she sings everything. So it's just
kind of. I do too. I do that with my cats. I just thought I was weird, but okay.
I do too. So yeah. you're weird, I'm weird. But yeah, so I've always loved to do it, and I've just really worked hard at it. And, you know, I've studied it my whole life, just like Josh Nelson has studied the guitar his whole life, and he studied this music his whole life, and it's just something that's a passion of mine that I love.
Well, stylistically, because there's so much, like in the piece you just did, there's so much gospel in that. When you sing this kind of soul and R&B stuff, somebody referred to you once, it might have been a review of Peace and Pieces, as, you know, taking blue-eyed soul to the next level. You're white. That's a very strong kind of black singing style. And, it, you know, not to get into racial things, but I mean, it's, where did that come from in you?
Well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I really feel like soul has no color. And and it's not, you know, I mean, I think that it was made in church. I think that there's just as much country influence as there is in gospel. And I think that, you know, if you listen to, you know, all the early Aretha Franklin stuff, all the early Wilson Pickett stuff, all the early Otis Redding stuff, you know, they had white boys playing on that stuff. And so I think the term blue-eyed soul is something that I shy away from, mm-hmm. just specifically because I don't think that music has a color, and I think that our souls speak to each other. And you can go from anywhere. You can go to any country and play, you know, indigenous tribes, you know, music, hand them, you know, some headphones, and they'll feel a certain feeling, because music has its own language. And I just hope that that's the point, really.
You grew up in Tampa, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've been around here, for a while. I mean, was your first singing experiences, was that in church with the gospel quartet? Did you tour around?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, tell me about those years. You know, because I mean, you're younger than I am. You're of a certain age, so you know, there's a lot of different kinds of music around here. But I mean, did you grow up in the church and that kind of expressive singing?
Yeah, actually, funny story. Josh Nelms and I, our parents grew up together, mm-hmm. and our grandparents were best friends, and they used to vacation together, and they got into a fight about which was the worst sin, smoking or drinking or something like that. And anyway, they were both, our grandparents were Bible beaters. And our parents got raised together. And then, so Josh lived, you know, just, you know, down the street, and we didn't even know that until we had been playing together for 6 months. Wow. That our families were so intertwined. But my grandfather had a church in South Tampa called Bayview Baptist Church, and he was the pastor, and there was a school there, and it was across the street from my granny's house, and she made all of the clothes and for the kids, all the uniforms, and she, you know, kind of made the school work. And gave them a good curriculum, and then I would go over to her house after class, and then she would teach me how to sew and teach me how to sing and teach me about Jesus, and you know, there's music and all that stuff, so it was just always something that was there.
Was that what you were always going to do? I mean, is there a place in your past, well, one day I'll go to medical school and be a doctor, or is it, oh, no, I'm going to be a singer, man, that's it?
But actually, I was so terrified of being a singer. Because it was really scary for me to get up in front of people. I used to like black out and shake and have to get like really drunk, you know, in order to do it. But
changed?
Well, I met someone who taught me about grounding and about neuromuscular technology, like where you train your body to feel power during if you make a certain movement or whatever. And I practiced that, and it helped me to overcome my stage fright. So, yeah, I mean, but I, yes, singing is always something I've wanted to do. And I think that playing guitar is something that Josh has always wanted his whole life too. So
Josh, you're a Tampa person too then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Down the street. You know, for me, like Tampa and guitar means like Thunderbird music and not Thunderbird. I grew up in St. Peter. Thoroughbred. What did I say? Thunderbird?
Spent many hours hanging there. I have friends that worked there when I was 18 years old that I am friends with to this day. You know, it's really cool, man. That was a great place. It was just, you know.
Yeah, boy, that's taking me back, though. And what, you know, I couldn't remember the name. It's been that long, but yeah. Yeah, and all the better music stores were always in Tampa, you know.
So, yeah.
You know, we had a beach, but you know that only goes so far.
Right.
Can we talk about? I mean, so you guys have been playing together a long time, the two of you.
Yeah, 9 years.
9 years. I mean, Betty, were you out like gigging before that, or has this basically been the start of things? Was when Josh was in the band?
Josh was, I think, my second guitar player. The first person I ever hired was Eddie Wright, who is still a really good friend of ours, and Josh talked to him like every day. I don't know. I met a guy named Aaron Fowler, who's a really amazing drummer. He's I loved the way that he played. I begged him to be my drummer, and he's introduced me to Josh. He said that he and Josh Nelms had always wanted to start putting a project together. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got introduced to Josh as a musician. We had met before, but not under those terms. Yeah. So, but it's just turned out to be really interestingly, like I'll bring him music, I'll bring him songs, and he always makes it, you know, better than I ever could have imagined, you know? So I feel really blessed in that way.
You have that connection, the neighborhood connection and the church connection that we're
doing. Yeah, you know, we love so much of the same music and have a real appreciation for a few different musical styles that we're both really into. So we're kind of on the same, a little bit of the same page when it comes to, you know, being able to kind of, you know, take an idea that she has and sort of
make it something cool.
That's key to a lot of successful musical artists is a collaborator right there that you feel 100% you can trust and you value their input, and that isn't that true? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, the old Mick.
Well, I mean, you know, there's
Alanis Morissette, you know.
Well, I mean, Lennon and McCartney, man.
Well,
you know, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, no, there's I think that that has to happen for any successful band where everybody's sort of moving in the same direction at the same time. But yeah, there's always, you know, people within those units that seem to be the, you know, that help, you know, be the catalyst for it all to move forward. So
we call you at like 3 a.m. or, hey, Josh, I got this idea, man. Come on.
It's definitely happened before. Usually she'll wait till the next day, but you know.
I usually just record it and send a text. Yeah, but I try not to wake you up in the middle of the night. That's for sure.
Yeah, luckily with technology, you know, you can put an idea and shoot it over in a text. And
yeah, the only one we're missing right now is Barry Williams, our bass player.
Yeah, so he's our.
He's our other right-hand man.
Yeah, Barry and I and Betty all really work well together. And
how long has Barry been in the band?
For about 5 years or so. Oh,
cool.
Yeah, something like that.
Who's your drummer these days?
Well, we were working with Jake Weinbrenner, and he's a good kid. And I don't know. We're just kind of picking up and putting down whatever. Mm-hmm.
Betty, what's your musical, your game plan? I mean, this is your third record that you said you're about to start working on the fourth. What do you want to happen? What do you see happening like in a perfect world? You know,
in a perfect world, everybody recognize my immense talent and skyrocket me to fame. And then I won't have to count my pennies when I go to Publix anymore.
I'd agree with that. I think you're certainly in line for that to happen. I mean, you know, can you see working with expanding the band at some point when the money starts rolling in, adding a horn section, you know, and a keyboard going?
Yeah, I mean, well, we definitely get those gigs, and we have done that many times. Mm-hmm. That being said, we've been fortunate to make make friends with one or two of the horn players up at Muscle Shoals, up at Fame Studios, guys that work there quite a bit, and that's been a real blessing.
Like, I have a dream team. When we hit it big, I have a dream team. You know?
Okay.
We're gonna snag a couple of those people from Muscle Shoals. That's for sure.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
What was that experience like? This is an obvious question. What you recorded, Peace and Pieces at Muscle Shoals. Is it literally like hallowed halls? Like, oh my God, I can't believe where we are. Do you feel the vibe?
Yeah.
In the... Yeah.
110% when you walk in there, and like the artists that we love and revere, have been in that room and cut records and made like hits. Like real hits, I mean, Aretha had a James Wilson Pickett. I mean, you know, it, dude, that list is long. And when you go in there, it's like the first, I would say, day and a half, I was nearly paralyzed.
I cried.
And then all of a sudden, you realize how cool everybody is. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just the most righteous, down to earth. Human beings. I mean, you know, we had Spooner Oldham play on our record.
Yeah.
With us.
I mean, I thought he was going to overdub his parts.
And he came in and sat while you were playing in the room.
Man, we're getting ready to record, and he just shows up.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, this guy's on everything from Aretha's I Never Loved a Man. I mean, he's on Neil Young records. He's on Bob Dylan records, man. I mean, we talked about lawnmowers. You know, these people are, they're superstars to us, but they're not. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, you don't get this rock star air off.
Certainly the more time you spend there, and the more you realize that you're all going, you're making a project together. You're all heading in the same direction with the same goals and the same desires, that's going to happen. They're just people, right?
Right. Right, but probably not like meeting a Rolling Stone or somebody famous. You know, I mean, I think they're just more famous to us musicians.
Yeah,
that's very cool. I mean, does it make you up your game though? What I'm wondering is, you know,
100%.
Like Betty, it's like, I don't think I sang that as well as I could. Can we do another take? And yeah. You're feeling like the ghost of Aretha in the paneling or something, yeah. You know? Yeah?
Yeah. Seriously? 100%. I took every song three times and we picked the best out of the three. And then, I mean, but everything ended up, we had done a ton of pre-production and we were ready for the studio.
Yeah.
We had played those songs so many times that it was just ready. We were just ready. Yeah. So, and then when we went back the second time, I just really wanted Jade to have that experience, you know, of being able to record in such a hallowed place, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that was really good. And then we came back from our tour and you know, now with everything going on, we're just trying to make the best out of it. So we're going to have a CD release party on New Year's and it's going to be a masquerade. Because everybody has to wear masks anyway, you might as well have it, you know.
Oh, you're the one that thought of that. That's good. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's me. And we're going to do a CD release party masquerade for our new album called Quarantunes. That's what the album's going to be.
Quarantunes.
Quarantunes.
So, okay. Well, boy, I got to run with that. That is so cool, though. did you say you're going to cut it at the Hideaway? How much of it is done?
Three songs.
Three songs that we recorded at Fame in January.
Okay, and then you're going to do the rest of the Hideaway.
Yes.
Tell me about the Hideaway. I play a little acoustic, and I jam with a couple of friends up there on occasions, but I'm not really a musician. John Kelly's a great guy and he's got a great year.
Awesome.
Tell me about why you like playing the Hideaway, both of you.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, it wasn't long after we kind of started the band that we started doing the Hideaway. I mean, it seems like we weren't playing together that
long. We've done that Wednesday thing for like years. Almost 8 years.
Yeah, every other Wednesday for like 8 years. And John is a dear friend of ours. I mean, we kind of really, that place is definitely instrumental and just
kind of like home to me.
Yeah, it was a catalyst for putting the band together. It's been a wonderful place to try new music out. Like, we write a song or whatever, that's probably the first place we're going to play it on stage.
Yeah.
And John is just a wonderful human being and a true friend of ours, you know, not just a business sort of associate, but yeah, just like a friend.
Yeah. He's like a really good friend. So,
yeah.
I mean, through and through, from the ambience of the room to the respect that people give the musicians to the respect that the people give us as friends, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're friends with all the bartenders. It's just a really cozy place for me. You know, it feels a lot like home.
Yeah. When are you back there? When do you go back?
We're gonna start every Thursday coming up here in October. So we've never done Thursdays before. We've always done Wednesdays, but we're going to start doing every Thursday, which is great for us because we need the money. So we need to get out there and start working. So that's where you can find us if you're looking to find us.
Well, the other thing is that in the time of COVID, Wednesdays and Thursdays are pretty much the same as Tuesdays and Mondays and Fridays, you know. Every day is like half the time when I'm doing this show, we're approaching 120 episodes. Half the time, I don't even know what day of the week it is. You know, it's just, oh yeah, we're still in the middle of this. One last question, and then you were going to grace us with another tune. You talked in the beginning, Betty, about using this time or during this 6 months time to write a lot of new songs. This is how we started this conversation. And so I'm going to go on a limb here and say, those are probably the songs that you're going to record for Quarantunes. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. In other words, they are quarantine tunes.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Are they any different? Is there a lot of hope and a lot of forward-thinking positivity in them?
There are some, yeah. I mean, there's some heartbreak stuff. I don't ever feign anything. There's a lot of stuff that's really real and honest, and we were working on one this morning that I think we might end up doing. You want to do Nevermind?
Sure. Why don't you play guitar on that?
Okay. So.
Do you want me to play? Or?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So this is one of the new ones?
Yeah, so this one is called Nevermind, and it's going to be on the next record. Yeah. But, it would be nice if I was, like, full of hope and all that stuff. I mean, there are some of the, like, there's a song called Bend Don't Break, and it's a nice song about, just kind of learning how to go with the flow, kind of who moved my cheese kind of song. But, but... Yeah, I mean, I'm just a person, you know, who goes through things so I just write songs about whatever it is that I go through. So,
you're just a person like the rest of us, except you got this unbelievable gift of a voice. So, thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on here. I appreciate you so much.
It's great to connect with you guys.
What's that?
It's great to connect with you guys, and I really do hope that, once the curtain lifts and we're sort of going wherever we're going, we can do this again, or else I'll see you guys out live again one of these days, won't be from the living room. Are we good? Has he got an amp happening there?
I think we're good, man.
Okay, well, take us out. Let's do it.
Okay. This is a song called Nevermind.
Okay.
Love who you are, despite with weeping. Forgiveness is a stranger who once was my closest friend. And I'm still looking for answers no one will ever give. Never mind, truth comes with time, and I'm on the road again. Try as I might, I can't reason why love began to fade. Never blame your refrain, and I'll be on my way. And if I'm wrong, I'll do what's right, there won't be hell to pay. Never mind, truth comes with time, and I'm on the road again. Why do you spill my precious secrets like water down bourbon? Burn my best intentions with a smoky, wicked grin. I still love who you are, despite where we've been. Forgiveness is a stranger who once was my closest friend. And I'm still looking for an answer no one will ever give. Never mind, truth comes with time, and I'm on the road again. Never mind. it's not worth my time. And I'm on the road again, again.
Once again.
Yeah, that's a new one we've been working on.
Me again. Josh Snell, Betty Fox.
Thank you.
Absolutely a pleasure. We'll see y'all in October at the Hideaway.
Yes, wonderful. Please come every Thursday.
All right. Cheers, guys. See you later.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care.